Thank you. Again, I come to you, an opportunity for me to sit down with you and talk to you about the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful good news from God to you. And when I think of these passages in the book of Ephesians, my heart just revels in the wonderful truth of the transforming power of the gospel that can take children of wrath and transform them into the children of God. And we're dealing here with the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Someone has called this the book of the heavenlies. And in the second chapter, certainly, we're dealing with that, where God takes us out of utter ruin into a position in Christ in the heavenlies. In our last two lessons, we've been taking up this question of chapter 2. If I may give you again, the one title for the whole chapter is Reconciliation. Chapter 1 was Redemption. Chapter 2 was Reconciliation. As I said a moment ago, from utter ruin to a position in Christ in the heavenlies, a position in glory. And we were dealing in our last lesson with our condition in times past. We found in chapter 2, verse 1, we were dead in sins, we were children of wrath like the rest, and in verses 11 to 13, we had no inheritance, we had no covenants, we had no hope, we were without Christ, without God, and we were afar off. And now we come to what we did in time past, that is, our condition. And you know, the condition, what we did, of course, measures up, parallels what we were in time past. And you know, even though the condition was bad, I must say that God has done a tremendous job. We've been made nigh by the precious blood of Christ. But we've come to that when we come to verses 13 and 14. But now our conduct in time past, verses 2 to 3. And again, I'm reading these first four verses. I just trust you memorize them as we go through with them. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, energizes the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath like the rest. But God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, what was our conduct? Our conduct, of course, is comparable to what we were. What we were in time past was manifested by what we did. Now, notice in verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. That is, we lived our lives according to the world system in which we lived, to which we were joined. It might be well for me to suggest that this question of the world, he is not dealing primarily here with the earth upon which we live, but rather the world of people. You see, there is a world system. The world is a system that's mightily, directly opposed to God. You remember Jesus Christ could say in John chapter 17, and by the way, 19 times he made the statement, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not say, Lord, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one, the prince of this world. You remember that three times in John's Gospel, chapters 12, 14, and 16, our Savior talked about the prince of this world. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the fourth verse says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. Now we read it again here. We walked according to the course of this world. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 to 15 could say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. It's very obvious he's not talking about the earth upon which we live. He's talking about this world system into which we were born when we were born into the world. We became a member of the world. And when you and I accepted the Savior, my Christian friend, we were translated out of this kingdom of the world, out of this kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of His blessed Son. I say it's a wonderful thing to know this. And I realize today, as I think of it, the wonderful, wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, the marvelous work that Christ did, the value of that work, which can take children of wrath out of this thing. And in time past, we walked according to the course of this world. And may I give you one other scripture about this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The Apostle John says, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world and the lust passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Think of it. Where did you and I live before we accepted Christ? We had our life. We walked according to the course of this world. And not only so, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that energizes the children of disobedience. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. This is the one who was in authority. I said a moment ago that Satan was the prince of this world, was the god of this age. And he keeps his children pretty well in check. And when you and I accepted the Savior, we were taken out from under his authority. We don't belong to him anymore. He opposes us. It's what Paul means in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. We said, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil." He's an implacable foe. And thank God that when a man or a woman or a young person accepts a Savior, and this is the only way you can ever become freed from his authority, is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 informs us in verses 14 and 15 that Christ, through his death, not only delivered us from death and the fear of death, but from the one who had authority over death, that is, the devil. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to accept the Savior. I'm afraid that too many of those people who accept the Savior, who talk about being a Christian, have never yet begun to realize the tremendous thing that took place when you accepted the Savior. Oh, listen, friend. Will you please hearken to what I have to say? Unless you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you will never be delivered from the powers of darkness. You can be religious, you can be moral, you can be a wonderful person, but unless you belong to Jesus Christ, God's precious Son who died for you and rose again, you'll never be from under the authority and energizing power of Satan. And if you want to know what causes people to do what they do, it's because of Satan's authority and power. It says here in the second verse, "He is the spirit that energizes the children of disobedience." Sometimes one is amazed to find people, young people, men and women, doing the things they do. And you wonder, why in the world do they do it? Because they're energized by Satan, the prince of this world. Now, this is in time past for us Christians. And he goes on to speak of the fact we walked according to the course of this world. In verse 3, this is what we did. It's our conduct. Mark it, please. "We lived in the lusts and desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now, this is the life of all the unsaved. And where else can they walk? Not having the Savior, not having a new nature, not being children of God, but being children of wrath, belonging to the world, where else can they conduct their lives? Please, Christian friend, don't be too quick to judge the unsaved man. He's energized by another force. And before you and I were saved, We conducted our lives. We had our manner of life in time past, and the lust, the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. People say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't commit adultery, I don't do these things. No, that may be true. You may not give yourself over to the desires of outbroken sin, the so-called lusts of the flesh, but what about the lusts of the mind? Would you like me to peer into your mind and declare what I see there? It's possible, you know, for a person who may not go into any sexual perversion, physical perversion, and yet in their mind can be filled with it, where their minds become filled with the things, not things they might necessarily do, they might like to do, but they take great pleasure in letting their minds roam on these sinful, unclean, immoral things. These are the lusts of the mind. Or it may, the lusts of the mind may be concerned about other things where Christ is left out. A great many dear people, good people, as far as you and I know, live wonderful lives, sometimes better lives than Christians. But you see, their lives are built around one thing, the desires and lusts of the world and of the flesh. Whereas a Christian, in spite of his frailty, there's a hunger for God, there's a desire to please God. He's been brought into life with Christ. And one of these days that's going to be evident, that he belongs not to this world, but to the living God. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing, you know, that times past are times past. And if I, as a Christian, profess to others that I belong to God, and I'm a child of God, no longer a child of wrath, but a child of God, then my life, my words, my actions, my very attitude to things ought to be changed. And it's high time we Christians lived as Christians, lived as children of God instead of children of wrath. Instead of desiring the lust of the flesh and of the mind, we might have a great passion and a great desire for Christ himself. May the Lord put that into your heart today, into my heart today, the longing, the desire to really know him. And to live not like one who belongs to this world, but one who has been raised from the dead, joined to a living Savior. I tell you again, I say, thank God, times past are times past. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.